Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Another great day for It's the Real.
Hold on. Today is a great day for It's the Real?
Well, you know what? I feel like through these 12 days of podcasts, I feel like actually through all of our podcasts, it's me saying that we're having a good day, and I hope that our listeners have a good day.
Yes, it's just like The Secret, only we're yelling it at you.
Yeah, it's like, yes. Have a great day.
Do it.
Have a great day.
To do it.
Have a great day.
Do it.
Have a great day.
Leave a comment if you're having a great day.
I want people to lower their windows and blast this out of their car, or like take their headphones off, put it on someone else's head in the subway, and just hear me. Have a great day.
You know what it's like? It's like Naughty by Nature meets Joel Osteen.
I feel like we should do all of our intros like this. Like, who's on the podcast today?
I
OG Chase B.
Sort of like OG Robbie Johnson.
OG Chase B. OG Chase B. OG Chase B.
It's like potato on a barrel, keep quiet.
Huh.
Catch a something from behind.
Huh.
OG Chase B.
Huh.
OG, all right.
People should go to itsthereal.com right now because, first of all, let me just say, if you haven't heard us rap, it's not that. We are not like
we're not a Q cover band.
We're not a Q cover band. We're not like the Fat Boys. We're not Marley Marl, you know, out here like you know,
yeah, I didn't drop a beat.
What's the cocaine song?
Oh,
White Lines. Don't do it. Yeah. I was going to say like do it.
Or do it, you know.
Yeah, White Lines.
Just do it.
People should go to itsthereal.com. If you want to see us rap live on stage on February 23rd, 2017, there's only one place to go get these tickets. That's itsthereal.com. itsthereal.com. Buy tickets. We are performing live. SOBs. It's going to be a legendary night. Fuck with us. Jeff, OG, Chase, B is on the podcast today.
Yes, and if you want to do White Lines, this is not the podcast to do it to, try Tackstone.
If you don't know about Chase B, if you're not going out to Up and Down or different clubs around New York City, where would people know him from?
You might know him from touring with Travis.
Travis Scott, yeah. Those two came up from Houston together. They've been friends since they were 9 years old. I mean, I love this story with Chase. What a great dude. He's one of the best DJs around of his generation. Shout out to Clark Kent and DJ Drama for saying that. Jeff, when do you want to get into this episode right here?
Right after people leave a comment on iTunes or SoundCloud letting us know, not for real, for real.
Not for real, for real.
This is a podcast you fuck with. And yeah, let's get into this episode.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Trapper Die, a.k.a. the Oregon Trail.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. So Washed, a.k.a. Luke for Real for Real.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
What's up, guys? It's Chase, a.k.a. Not the Bank, a.k.a. Not the Verb, but that is my name.
Yeah, and this is a waste of time when it's the real. Chase, what's happening?
I'm hanging out, man. It's good to be in the city. It's cold as hell.
Yeah.
That's what, it's like, the summer is like the reward for like surviving the New York City winter, you know?
Well, so, I mean, what's, before you moved to New York, what was the worst winter you ever experienced?
Well, I was in D.C. for school and okay. Shit, so it got pretty cold down there.
Yeah?
We got like, it was this thing, we called it Snowmageddon, because like, it would literally, like it would snow like probably every 2 days, and then so like that snow would just pile on top of the other shit, so we didn't have school for like a good, I think it was like 9 or 10 days or something like that.
That is.
And so like we had like house parties every night and shit.
Were you DJing there?
I was like starting to DJ. Yeah. I was like not good enough to like to entertain my friends and shit. But,
oh, believe
you know.
Me, we knew.
You
were whack.
No, but 9 or 10 days in a row, though.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. It was a good week and a half of just like we get up, like we check the school website every day and be like, yo, hopefully it says like no school and shit. And then yeah, every day for like 9 days, it just happened. And then but it came back to bite us in the ass because like, we had to take all of our, like, finals and shit in, like, one day, basically, because, like, it was, like, you know, when, around this time.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, it fucked a lot of shit up, but it was cool.
How many schools did you visit before you went to school?
Colleges?
Yeah.
I was running track, so I was, okay, like, trying to play that whole field and shit. And
what'd you do in track?
The 200, 400, and 800. I was a little beast, man. Yeah, I was, like, yeah. My shit.
Sprinting,
like,
fuck.
Yeah, word. My school, we still had, like, a national record in the 4x2 and shit. Whoa. We won state twice.
Well, okay.
We were pretty hard.
You're originally from?
Houston, Texas.
Where in
Sugar
Houston?
Sugar Land.
Sugar Land.
South Side.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's, Sugar Land's dope, man. It's, like, really diverse. It's really, you know, nice area, really suburban and shit.
Right.
And so I was hanging out there, between there and Missouri City, which is, like, a little east to of where my school was.
We went down to, we shot our music video with Bun down there a few years ago and went up to, do you remember the name
wherever
of it?
Wherever Mike Dean used to live.
Yeah.
Oh, the North Side.
Yeah.
Like, the North Side.
Deep in the sticks. And Bun was just like, oh yeah, Mike lives around here. Uh-huh. And we're like, oh really? And we hit him and Mike's just like, what are you doing down there?
I think he still has a house over there.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Bun told us that
there was a dog that Mike used to have that like chewed through the walls.
Yeah.
What type of walls did he have? Like, like licorice walls? Or something?
Really, the question is, what kind of dog did he have?
For real. Some cyborg shit.
Exactly. Growing up down in Houston, what did you know about like winters and why would you ever want to experience them?
Yeah, like I didn't know shit about
it. You could have gone to like Rice or you could have gone to you know, any other Texas school, right?
I really didn't know too much about seasons in Texas at all. You know, like it's like right now I think it's probably like 75 degrees down there and shit like that. And but you know, the we knew the summer though, that's one thing, like,
right?
Like 115 and shit.
But like,
See, that sucks.
So, like, you got to start your car. And like put the air conditioning on and then just like walk around for like 5 minutes to let the air circulate and shit.
I
so
feel
the
like seatbelt
doesn't like burn your skin.
Yeah.
You like wake up with like flies in your mouth.
Also, it's terrible. If you have like leather seats, you're just screwed.
Oh, yeah,
right?
You're fucked. Yeah, for sure. And then the suede, like smell and shit. I don't know. But
did you travel a bunch or was you?
Not really. Well, my mom's from Jersey. She's from East Orange, New Jersey. And my dad's from Connecticut. So, I always had like an East Coast-ish, not the really like the winter like that. And I used to live in Philly too for a couple years.
Oh. But, well, let's get into it. So you're born down in Houston.
Yeah, moved to Philly for like a couple years. I can't even like really recollect how many it was because I was so young. But then I moved back down to Texas, and then
Stayed there.
Stayed there for all of high school and all that. And then so college was just kind of like my dad. Both my parents went to Boston College.
Okay,
so that was an interest of mine was going there. And then
could have been a legacy.
Yeah, exactly. And then wouldn't have been a DJ, though. Probably.
Right.
Definitely be doing some whole other shit. And then, I just went to Howard to visit. I met with the track coach and shit, and I was just like, I think this could be dope. And I just ended up there.
Running track, did you have ambitions to do it professionally and or go to the Olympics?
Like, I thought I was dope. Like, I was like, yo, like this is like a thing for me. Like, I'm like super fast and shit. But running track in Texas is totally different from running it up here because it's like, in February, like, we're, like, with our shirts off and, like, racing. You know what I'm saying? We're, like, running sprints. Like, up here in February, you're doing, like, 90-minute runs and, like, the fucking frozen tundra and shit. So, I was just like, you know what? This is not dope. So.
Did you travel? Like, did they have traveling, like, teams?
Yeah. I was, we did the whole, like, we were in the, what is it, the Mid-Eastern Atlantic Conference, the MEAC.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I was doing all the meets going to, like, you know, fucking, I forgot what schools are even in it, like Hampton, all that, you know.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I was doing it like super competitively for my whole first year of school, and then I was just like, I'm not going to the Olympics or nothing, so I'm just gonna, you know, park it right here.
Right.
What? So you were in relays, and what? First of all, how terrified are you to drop the baton?
Yo, that shit. Especially like it's like in Texas, man. Like, you know, track and football are like it's holy grails.
Yeah.
And dropping that stick, man, for real, like, it's like a bad, like, the whole stadium would just be like, you know what I'm saying?
That's what happened to the track team this year at the
Olympics. Yeah. Oh, like, they didn't, well, did they drop it or did they, it was a bad exchange?
I think it was a bad exchange.
It was outside of the zone, and that shit, because that's where you practice all, it's like fucking.
You have one job.
Yeah, it's like, one job, yeah.
It's like dribbling.
It, no, for real, it's like, but it's harder than it looks, because you're really, you're not, like a 4x1, like, you're not looking at the dude behind you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like, you got to just get it right on a stage like that. You know, it's pretty tough, so.
Which man were you, generally?
Well, I ran in the 4x2, I was the second leg. 4x4, I was the, I used to run first leg.
Second leg, by the way, least important.
It is, though. No, it is.
But is there like, a philosophy to, like, running the second leg? Where it's like, do you want to, like, have your first guy be the fastest just to get out? Or do you want him to be, like, the last so he can make up the time?
Yeah, it's really, like, the technique. Like, the dude that's first probably has, like, the quickest start.
Right.
You know, so, like, he can get out the blocks the fastest. Second leg, if you're better at running, like, in a 4x1, like, if you're better at running straightaways, then you'd want, you know, your second leg to be good at that. And then the last dude is just like the fucking juggernaut, like the Usain Bolt of the whole shit.
And so, what happened to that guy? Where's he now?
My school, we had two of the fastest dudes like in the world at the same time. It was a dude named Isaiah Sweeney and Robert Simmons. And Sweeney's playing professional football, and I'm not sure where Robert's at. If you're listening, Robert, what's up, bro?
leave a
he's probably like, what the fuck? Why is he talking about me right now?
That's a nice name drop, though.
That
is.
So, but you really felt like you were like doing things in high school, like
yeah, hell yeah, yeah. I used to run against DeSean Jackson from the Redskins.
Really?
Yeah, at Nationals and shit. And he used to kick my ass. He used to blaze.
You didn't even need to go into that last part. You're just like, yeah. Yo, we ran against each other. It's like, oh shit.
Yeah, no, but that, you know, that's the level I was competing on.
That's
like,
amazing.
Yeah, it was like really like, you know, top of the line shit.
What are those meets like, by the way? Do you sit around for a while?
So many girls and shit. No. But, yeah, it's just really fucking hot. You try to, you know, and then you're like warming. You got to keep your body warm and, you know, like stretching all day. And, you know, there's good food and shit, though, too.
That's
like, it's a good experience, man. It's fun. I really miss like track meets and shit, like Texas relays and pen relays and all that type of shit.
Where did they have the Texas relays?
In Austin at UT's campus.
Right on.
It's like a big thing now. It's like South by Southwest, basically. Like there's like concerts all over the place and shit.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's like a real thing.
That's where you guys should play next year.
I know, for real. No, that'd be dope.
That'd be awesome.
Just like in the middle of the field, we should just have like a fucking concert or something.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to an actual rodeo?
Yes. Hell yeah. I saw Destiny's Child perform Survivor for the first time ever.
At a rodeo.
Yeah.
Wait, they performed it for the first time?
They were like, this is our brand new song. It's called Survivor. And they performed it at the rodeo.
Crazy.
That shit was the dopest shit ever. Yeah.
We have so many Houston
questions. Wait, so you got to see Michelle?
Oh, I did. Yeah. Yeah, right. When that was a thing.
Have you been to Breakfast Club?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, now there's a Breakfast Club, and then there's Breakfast Club Express with like, because Breakfast Club just got too popping. So now, like, if you already know, like, you just want like the chicken and waffles or whatever, that you can just go to the Express one and they just have that. But if you want like the whole shebang, you gotta wait in line.
When we were down there, we went and Bun.
Oh, of course, with Bun, probably.
But
just,
he's a king, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So I dropped Jeff off. It was raining, like strangely in Houston, right?
Oh,
and
nah,
so
it
like, the
a lot
entire staff went out into the parking lot and like directed Eric,
like so held spaces
because,
and
because Bun was like, my friend is parking. Can you help him get a parking
spot?
And
they just like fucking parted the Red Sea for you.
We were not going to the Express part, you know?
We had
to sit down and experience it. And by the way, someone did walk up and like think that because there were two, you know, white dudes sitting with Bun that we were like, must have been executives or something. Or, so he's like trying to like, you know.
Oh, shit. Yeah. You're like, nah, it's a bunch.
I know, yeah. We're just here for the chicken and waffles. You know.
No, the Breakfast Club is the dopest shit, though.
What part of town were you really like hanging out in like high school?
I lived in Sugar Land, but I was always in Missouri City. Like everything I did was in Mill City. Like from like
Nelly, Chingy.
That's the crazy people are like, yo, like wait, like Missouri? Like no, Missouri City's in Texas, and then what? Like there's Kansas City's in Missouri.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's like some
you park
shit.
In a driveway and drive in a parkway.
Yeah,
right?
yeah, exactly. But yeah, I was always in Mo City, like everything from like barbershops to like just going to school. I went to high school in Mo City.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even go in Sugar Land. And all my friends were there.
What kind of job did you have in high school?
I worked at a Fuddruckers, which was super chill. I think
were you a server or were you a...
I don't know, just sat there at the cash register the whole time.
All right.
And like we used to like... I was really cool with like the chefs and shit. It was me and my, like one of my best friends at the time working there. And we used to like get like these custom burgers and shit and whatever.
What's a custom burger?
Just like, you know, we're just trying shit. Like we're just looking around, like just fucking throw like a tamale on my shit. You know what I'm saying? Just whatever. So yeah, no, the Fuddruckers was dope. And then I worked at the movies, which was not dope. That was my first job ever, was at the movies.
Why
was that not dope?
Clean shit up and errand
people
boy.
Really are disrespectful in terms of like the shit that they leave around.
Yeah,
right?
It's crazy, bro. I wouldn't wish that on anyone at all. And the money was shit.
Like,
so
there's trash bins like right outside.
Yeah,
just carry your shit.
That
and
was
throw
yeah.
it out.
And I used to be there, and you know, I was probably like 15.
Yeah.
And I used to be there till like 12:30, 1 o'clock. Like that's late.
Yeah.
You know? And just being
right,
there, like,
no driver's license,
nothing. Yeah, so I'm waiting for my mom or something to pick me up. There's no Uber.
Damn.
Back in the day,
right? Yeah, but now it's gotta be real.
Now
good.
It's lit. Yeah, right. I can't imagine having.
Did you
like,
get
Uber.
To see movies? Like, was there a perk
yeah, yeah.
to that? Yeah,
that was cool. Like, I'd like just kind of stay and.
It's air conditioned.
It's air conditioned, you know.
But then you were just watching movies by yourself.
So. Just like eating someone's old popcorn. Just like, yeah.
What was the music scene like when you were in your formative years? Like, what were you really listening to down there?
Honestly, man, I was listening to a lot of like Houston ass shit. Like that's like that. What
OG
the whole,
Ron
like,
C.
Yeah, like Ron C. Just you know, that's when Mike Jones and Paul Wall were really like making their
millionaire. Yeah,
millionaire. That's when like Houston was really a thing. Was
right.
like. My beginning of high school and shit.
Did you really like latch on to anyone? Was like Slim Thug your guy? Was Mike Jones? Paul Wall?
Mike Jones was kind of like the. He was kind of like the most I mean, he had the hits, like, you know, like, sure. Still Tipping is like, yeah, his song and, yeah, shit. On his album.
Did you ever,
like,
call
back
his,
then?
Did you ever
shit.
Call his phone number?
Of course, yeah, bro, yeah. Of course. He'd be sitting in, like, fucking, like, fine arts classes or shit, and we just call it. Just, it was like a voicemail service or something like that. But and then he was dope because he did the whole, like, saying the bars over and over again.
Yeah,
and
right, right.
So that's why people fuck with Mike Jones. And but Slim Thug was the one that was like, he was fucking with Pharrell.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So he kind of showed us, like, all right, this is like what really goes on in rap.
Yeah,
you know, like this, like, you can be like all the chains and shit and whatever, like doing shit with Pharrell and the whole Star Trek shit. So. And I fucked with Slim Thug. And his
Slim
voice
Thug
is crazy.
Is he from the North?
He's from the North Side.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So you really listened to all that stuff. Did you see,
yeah,
yeah, any shows around,
nah,
that?
I really didn't even start going to shows until, like, college, for real. I never really got out the house like that.
Who played
to,
you
to do
at,
leisurely
at,
things?
Who played at Howard's, what is it, Spring Fling?
Oh, like, no, Homecoming and shit?
Homecoming, yeah.
Yeah, that was, man, Howard Homecoming, honestly, is like, that's like a real, it's, yeah, like a real thing. It's like not even to gas it, like, it's like a super big deal. I remember my freshman year, Wale shot, I think it was the Nike Boots
Nike
video.
Boots,
yeah, yeah, at that show. So that was dope just for me. Like, you know, like, oh, I moved to DC and, like, now it's like this rapper performing and shooting music videos. And,
yeah,
shit. I was like, that's dope. And then, but the craziest year was, like, I think like 3 or 4 years ago when, like, Drake, like, broke the,
yeah,
fucking stage and,
right,
like, Rick Ross and everybody was there and 2 Chainz and shit.
Yeah.
So that was dope. Yeah.
Did you have any reservations about, like, moving clear across the country to go to a totally different city? Or were you like, I need this in my life, I just want to get out of town?
Yeah, no, I was definitely, like, I got to DC, I'm just like, yo, I'm here now. Like, I don't know what the fuck to expect. I didn't really, I had my roommate for, like, my whole course of Howard. He's from Houston, too, and so we just kind of went in there together.
You knew each other beforehand or not?
Yeah, yeah, we did. And we just kind of figured it out. But the dope thing about Howard was that nobody really was from DC. Like,
really?
There are people from DC, but, you know, it's like 99% is out of state. Like, there's a lot,
right,
of people from California and you know, Atlanta had a huge population there and shit, and that what kind of makes you such a good DJ, because it was like you kind of have to know about everything to, like, I knew about Baltimore club music now and, like, the whole, like, hyphy shit and,
yeah,
whatever, you know, it was a lot going on.
That's exactly what DJ Drama said when he went down to,
oh,
Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah,
the
exact
Atlanta's
same
the same
thing.
The same thing. It's like a melting pot of just, like, black culture and,
yeah,
hip-hop culture and shit. So it definitely taught me a lot of just about, you know, just music in general. And, you know, people was like, it made me more, like, relatable because, like, I knew so much about just people around the country and shit. So,
did you have to like go-go music?
No, you didn't have to,
okay,
but there's some good shit. Like, you,
yeah,
know, I fuck with, like, UCB and all that type of,
mm-hmm,
shit. Like, Sexy Lady's, like, a dope-ass song.
Right.
There's some terrible-ass go-go music.
Talk about it.
Yo, there's
Talk
some, yo, like, there's some shit. There's a lot of shit go-go,
yeah,
music.
Right.
I'm not going to lie, but there's, yeah, there's some classics, too, though, which,
yeah,
which is tight.
How quickly did you decide on a major?
I knew I wanted to do something in communication.
Mm-hmm.
I was originally supposed to be in advertising sales, I think.
Whoa.
Some shit like that, yeah. Because my dad's like a...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly, right? If I was at Boston College, I'd be sitting there punching over. But no, my dad is like, you know, he has a really, really good job, you know.
And how many brothers or sisters do you have?
I have an older brother.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where did he go to school?
He went to Penn.
Oh, okay.
He went to Penn. He ran track. He's like,
oh, so, yeah. So yeah, it wasn't so crazy to go to the back,
exactly,
to Northeast.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Well, does that mean that your parents did they let you off easy because you were the younger child? Like, they went through it with your older brother, and then they're like,
not
Chase
really,
will do what Chase will do.
Not really easy. Not at all. It was kind of a little bit harder for me because I was such like a fucking knucklehead. Like, I didn't do like a lot of homework and shit. I was always good at tests. That was like my thing. I could do tests because I can like remember shit.
Yeah.
But I wasn't about to just sit there and, like, write down vocabulary words and whatever. So, yeah, my mom was really tough on me when it came to all that type of shit. And I dropped out. So that was, like, a whole other episode of...
Dropped,
like,
out of college.
Of Howard. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Well, so, when?
Junior year, some money shit happened. And I had to, like, take a semester off. And,
mm-hmm,
then after that, I was just like, yeah. It's really hard to, like, go back to school. Like,
yeah,
I respect people that can, like, leave and go back to college. Because, like, now, to graduate, I would have to take... micro and macroeconomics, and that's not about
that's
to happen. Right? That's not a thing
that applies,
bro,
to your life so much.
I know, yeah, exactly. I need to know these things.
Yeah,
like,
is there any thought that you actually would finish your degree or no?
There's always gonna be that, you know, kind of thought in the back of my head, but, you know, like, I would do it if there were courses that I thought I could just kind of not easily, but you know, really understand and shit. Right. But I can't just dive back into economics, man.
Well, yeah. But it's also not like you go home for Thanksgiving and like everyone around the table gives you a hard time for not having a college degree.
It used to be like that, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it definitely did. Yeah, my mom used to be like, are you all right? Like, she would look me in the eyes like, yo, are you good? Like, you sure? Like, what's wrong with you type of shit?
Well, so you...
I mean, what is wrong with you?
Hey, man, I'm clearly a fucking lunatic. You know?
You're a knucklehead.
Yeah.
So, when you dropped out, did you move back to Houston or did you move...
I dropped out and my grandmother had just passed too, which is a big thing. I couldn't even, like, walk in a classroom without, like, just thinking about... You know, like, I was really emotional at that point. So, I was staying at her old apartment in East Orange.
Okay.
And, I was just kind of like, just kind of trying to figure it out. Like, I remember just sitting there and I was really lonely and shit and all sad and whatever.
Did you know anyone in town?
In New York?
No, in East Orange?
Not really, nah. Not at all, for real. Trav used to come and, come up and visit and shit. We got some shit done.
Well, how did you know him from?
I know that Travis from was home? Like 9 years old. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And so when he was trying to figure the whole music shit out, and it was like, yo, come to the East Coast, you know, and he had like a place to at least sleep.
Right.
So that's when we were just trying to figure out the whole New York scene and shit, and he was trying to sign his first record deal, and I was like trying to get like $50 DJ gigs and whatever.
Well, and did you have, like, what kind of DJ setup did you have?
Oh, no, it was some trash.
Did
it
you
was,
have Serato?
Did you have a Walkman?
I was Oxcore before Oxcore, bro. I had my fucking cassette deck and all that shit. But I had like this Vestax mixer and like one CDJ 1000, and I just would like just sit there and just like scratch with it and shit, and you know, try to figure it out.
And did you figure it out?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'm doing all right now.
But leave a comment if Chase.
Wait, yeah. No, let me know if I did not figure it out.
But with one
if I have yet to figure it out.
But with one CDJ, and a mixer, and you were just like,
yeah, just you know, just like playing '90s rap, like trying to blend and shit, and you know, that was fun. And then I used to get gigs at just like random shit. Like I remember Shabazz used to hold it down with it's crazy, we were just talking about that, but yeah, that's why I even did the party.
Oh really?
Because I was like, yo, she used to book me for like, I did basically everybody's first show in New York. Like I was like the house DJ and shit. Like I remember like Trinidad James and shit and like Chief Keef, and like when everybody was bubbling, like I was the one to do their first show, and Shabazz would set it up. So
that's awesome. At SOBs and stuff.
Just like, hey, yeah, Santos.
Or Santos,
yeah,
right.
Santos,
and then, so you did the Santos show for Trinidad James?
Yep.
Oh, that's legendary.
That shit was a movie.
Talk about it.
That shit was a movie. I remember...
Had you met him before?
Nah. I don't really meet any of those dudes, which is the funniest part. Like, now we're all cool and shit.
At first, we should say, like...
When I was, like, valueless.
Shabazz.
No one wanted to be my friend.
Shabazz has a company called Electric Circus, and she put on a lot of people and throws events, and she just celebrated the 5-year anniversary which we went to the other night.
It was fun.
And okay,
Kabassier.
So yeah. And Lugs.
Word.
And Dabba Ranch, Rap Snacks.
Yeah, Rap Snacks. Yeah. So you go to Santos, and I mean, obviously you heard the song, you knew what, like,
oh yeah, was,
you knew
was,
that there was like a bidding war, but
yeah.
You didn't know the line was gonna be crazy.
Yo, that shit was, yeah, I remember they were like, oh, we need space for a fucking Republic's gonna sit here, and like everybody was like trying to sign this dude and shit, because he really had that like that moment, you know, like it was like he was like really like a, I don't want to say a pioneer with that whole YouTube shit, but it was like one of the first songs that was like this song is this person type of shit, you know.
Yeah, right.
That song was so big, and Santos was a movie that night, and I remember he brought like the whole ASAP out.
Yep.
Yeah, that shit was crazy. So
I remember, first of all, I saw Trinidad James, I think, twice. Somebody just reminded me I wrote a review about the show because I didn't remember.
Uh-huh.
At SOB's. But I remember I was walking in Columbus Circle and I heard this woman on the phone and she was like, I don't know, something, he's from Trinidad. And I was like, he's not from Trinidad.
He's not.
And I was like, that's that New Yorker that like overhears things and just like starts interjecting in their conversations. Yeah.
Is it right that Santos show, he either just played that song or you ran it back a bunch of times and like...
So he did some other songs, and then he did... what's the other one that was
Girls,
my side bitch, that main bitch, my man. That one,
right,
that one, I was like, all right, like, something's brewing.
Yeah.
And then he did fucking All Got Everything, and that shit, like the fucking whole shit just like kaboom.
Collapsed.
Yeah,
oh my
like,
God.
It was crazy. And then he probably performed it like 3 or 4 times and shit.
And you should have felt pretty lucky that you were like, you know, in the DJ booth rather than this insane crowd.
It was just dope for me to like finally get my name on flyers and shit like that.
Right.
You know, because at that point, yeah, like I wasn't even having my name.
Did you have like a logo?
No, I don't think so. I don't think I had it.
How did word get around? Like, was it really like Shabazz put you on in places that you should be? And then people were like, I know you, so you should do another event.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like her, Lola, had a lot to do with it too. Yep. Lola booked me for some dope shit, like Dej Loaf for a show and shit. It was a mix between that. And then, Goldie over at Butter Group with like the whole up and down and what was the Darby and shit. So I used to do the Darby like whenever a DJ would cancel.
Right.
They'd be like, yo, Chase, like want to come in like DJ for whatever? And I'd be like, yo. So I'd be in there playing like Avicii for like 6 hours and shit on like a Saturday night or something.
And pretty
like
much a coked up. Yeah. Like,
yeah, for real. And, and what's Travis's line on 3500?
Oh, up and down with Chase. Which one? Monday he said night? Monday.
Yeah.
With that, that's when shit was like I was a little bit more comfortable. I think that's when I was living
around here
a couple blocks up and
which by the way we never hung out when
we
you
never
lived
did
two blocks away
because man I
now
just,
we ask you to come up here and you're not even living near here
so what happened with that was the Darby closed because they were remodeling and shit
right
and I was just completely fucked. That was like my income was doing that probably like hopefully twice a week
so I
bounced back to Houston for a little bit. I was doing some gigs there. I tried to start some parties and then when they opened up and down, I was getting booked kind of consistently. So I was like, all right, let me move back up. So I was staying with my homie in Jersey, Busy. I was staying with him in Jersey City for a little bit, just kind of save some money. And then I moved to Best Eye after that. And that's when Blackout Mondays was like the most fun party ever. It was like downstairs every Monday. That's when like Prince came and like all this wild shit. And like Fashion Week was a movie.
Yeah.
And all that. And so that's when I feel like I was like, all right, like now I'm like, I have a place here in New York. Like I can feel like I can move around a little bit and shit. So
did you fuck up anybody's like gigs ever?
I'm sure I have,
like, because that's difficult, by the way, like not meeting someone and then just trying to like figure out cues, right?
Yeah. I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but
how
I'm sure
convenient that you can't think of anything.
I would, because that's like the shit I like the most. Oh, I fucked up my own gig.
How soon? What,
like the worst ever? This is dope because me and Clark can't have that party tonight.
Yeah.
And actually, when I leave here, he's getting honored for the Global Spin Awards.
Oh, awesome.
And they want me to go basically, like, you know, vocalize my fucking affinity for this guy or whatever.
Don't say that, but yeah. That's a high honor, though.
Yeah, so they want me to go and just, you know, talk some shit about how he influenced my career and whatever.
Yeah.
But so when I met him, it was he had this management company, him and Hawaii Mike, and I just wanted to be down so bad. I was like, yo, my idol, and like Hawaii Mike, like gets all the cool sneakers and shit, and like they can like put me on as far as like the city goes and whatever. So we met with him, and then and you know me and Clark just vibed out just instantly just off of music, and because I knew so much about him and just about the city and just rap or whatever. Mm-hmm. So he was like, yeah, no, he's like, we definitely fuck with you, man. We just gotta hear you play, like, you know, and then after that, you know, we'll sign you to the management company or whatever. And so it was Nigel Sylvester's birthday party like a couple years ago. And like I told you, I only had that one CDJ. That was what I was like practicing at home with and whatever. And so when I got to the gig, they had the tech set up, like the, you know, I had wax on the table and shit. So I was like, it feels a little different. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a little like a different type of like resistance on turntables. So I, long story short, I was just bad at DJing that night. Like it just didn't sound good. And then I remember it was like the surge protector under the table, and I like kicked it, and the whole party just goes. And then I just looked at Clark, and I'm just like, "Yo, I suck, man." And then so the party was cool. Like, everyone else killed it except for me.
Yeah,
well, did they still sign you?
No, they didn't. They didn't. But I think it was kind of a good thing because like it kind of pushed me to like be like, "All right, I got to do this on my own now, and nobody's really gonna put me on."
Was there always an agreement between you and Travis that you guys would rock together?
Yeah, it was just kind of like it just kind of happened for real. Like when I started DJing, He had like these mixtapes that he was putting out back at home, so I would just kind of go around Howard and play them for people. Like, oh, do you like this song? I used to send it to all my friends. Like, yo, do you like this song that my friend made it? And then when we started doing shows and shit, it was like, who else? Like, obviously, right? It's like, we have a show, dude. Like, come on. So
did you start off as a push button DJ?
No, never. No, I was I thought Kid Capri was like, you know what I'm saying? I was like, I need to be that guy because I used to host and shit. That's what I really was doing. I was next to the DJ, like on the mic. Like, yo, whose birthday is it? Right. I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Like Libra season. Word, like super. And then, yo, I just kind of like woke up one day like, yo, this is sucks. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, I need to do both of these shit. No disrespect to like the amazing host that, you know, but it was just like, I was like, I just feel like, because I was only doing it in clubs and shit. And I used to like host some concerts at Howard or whatever. But I was like, yeah, I think I can do both. I can like talk some shit in, like scratch a little bit. So, I always wanted to just be, like, super nice.
Now when you're in New York, do you make sure to shout out every single borough? And different parts of town?
Yeah. Upper West Side never gets shouted out. Never. Like, never. I mean, South Harlem, really. Yeah. South Harlem really never gets shouted out.
That would be hilarious. Like, yo, who's from the Upper West Side?
Yeah. Who's from a very specific area near the Whole Foods?
We should do that ourselves. Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I don't think... Staten Island doesn't really get too much love.
Staten Island gets no love.
Yeah, right? I don't think Staten
Island. That's all cops and firefighters. Right. Who wants to shout them out?
That's like, fuck that
I mean, they are the real heroes.
Yeah. Well, if you're down in Houston, what are you shouting out?
I'm shouting out Mo City all day, man. We got the song Zero Mo City Dawn. It's like everybody within like a 50-mile radius of Mo City knows every word to this 4-minute freestyle.
Man.
Yeah, and yeah, that's like, that's it.
And what's your go-to record now?
Right now, in the club, right now, like... I'm fucking up. I need to turn up or something like that. Bad and Bougie probably like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That song's a home run for sure.
What a basic choice.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. No, I really play fucking Return of the Mac. But that's like, it gets the people going.
That's for the real heads. Yeah.
Play the French Montana version.
Yeah.
So when you and Travis linked up, where did you guys start playing? What were the smaller gigs that you were playing?
Yeah, we did this one. We did this one show at... It's kind of a staple in Connecticut for like up and coming artists. Toads.
Oh yeah.
What is Toads Landing? Toads something. Toads Place.
Right.
Toads Place.
Yeah.
Toads
yeah.
Place. We did a show at Toads Place, and there had to be a total of like 13 people. We did the show in the DJ booth. Like Trav was like, and that was just you know shout out to him for having that. He always had that vision, like, because he's very visual. So he's like, this would probably just look crazy if like my whole show was in this DJ booth.
Right.
So he was just like, yo, everybody get in this one booth. And we just did, I think we did like Upper Echelon like 3 or 4 times.
Right.
Or something, you know, and that shit was dope. But
do you remember? We saw him. Mm-hmm. And I guess.
And you. Yeah.
There was a vitamin water thing.
Oh, shit. Wow.
At like a
it was a Lower East Side bank.
Yeah.
And it was like maybe 20 people there.
Yeah. So Vitamin Water's thing was
it was like performances in like unexpected places, but I forget the actual.
They had like a series of
those. I think Solange did one in like the subway. Mm-hmm. They
Earl Sweatshirt did one in
Auto Body Shop.
And
you guys were in Lower East Side bank.
Yeah. And by the way, there's a reason why you know, rappers don't usually perform in like Auto Body Shops. Like, it's not like a good environment. It looks cool, but like as a fan, it's just
not
like,
not a venue
this?
Per se.
And I think Travis like got up on like the counter and then crowd surfed against this like you know, it's not like a ceiling like this. It was like
a really low ceiling.
Yeah.
And he was punching it or something. Yeah.
Sounds about right.
That's our Travis.
And then how quickly did things move when you started doing like bigger shows?
Honestly, I don't know if I can speak for him when I say this, but the rodeo tour with Thug, we were like, yo, man, Thug like has hits, man, like Stoner and Danny Glover. Like, yo, like, what if this is just like a one-sided thing, you know? And then I remember when Trav hit the stage at Santa Ana for the first time on the first show of the rodeo tour, and it was like, all right, like, he's like arrived now. Like, because it was right after Days Before Rodeo, and it was like, all right, he's like a real thing now. Like, this is like, he sold out all his merch, like every show. It was like, all right, now you have like fans, dude, like, you know, you're here. So that was a moment for me that was like, all right,
in terms of his catalog, what's most meaningful for you? Like, is it I was at Brittany Sky's birthday party when you guys came and played Days Before Rodeo, and you were playing like songs that just dropped like that night or the night before, like, and that felt like a moment.
I think Days Before to me is my favorite time period of this whole thing, because it was like we were on tour with that with the neighborhood, the group,
right?
And we were just on that Sprinter, and then we were in Atlanta for like 2 or 3 days, and Trav just recorded all this music, and we were just like, yo, like, it would be kind of dope if we just put this out, because everybody was waiting on the album for so long and shit, and we was like, yo, I think we should just like put this out on like SoundCloud or something. And we dropped it, and it just hit, like, it connected, so it was like, you know, trusting your gut kind of works. So.
Right.
You seem rather level-headed.
Okay.
Not on a ton of drugs.
Appreciate.
Yeah. that we know of.
that we know of.
I mean, maybe you hide it very well. I don't know. you can talk about your skills with that. But but what is it like being in that sort of... Because Travis is a... How you say a handful, I okay, guess, is the way
sure,
to put it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, how do you exist in that world?
I just kind of always try to, like, take a step back, for real. I think we both have really good friends that are also very level-headed. And even Trav, you have obviously, like, he is, like, a handful. But he's obviously, you know, one of the most level-headed people I've met, like, in this whole industry and shit.
And by the way, like, we love Travis. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that interview that we did with him is one of our favorites.
Which you were there. At,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, shit. I'm just standing in the back laughing hard as fuck. Yeah.
When you guys hit the road and you're touring in a Sprinter, did you think, like, this, like, we've made it? Do you think, like, this is
everything? I always knew it was going to be, like, a huge
You knew
thing.
There were tour buses
Even, like,
and
from
flights
before, and... like, before, like, Alfair even came out, I was like, no, we're going to, this is going to work. You know, like, we're both too talented to not, you know, reach a certain level of success. So
do you feel like your talent lies even further from the DJ booth itself? Do you think, like, have you been approached to A&R projects? Have you been approached to
definitely? And I'm just kind of taking my time with all that because I just know, like, how, you know, fragile careers can be and shit. So I'm just having fun playing music, and I just want to learn a lot.
Right,
there's a lot to learn about that whole side of the industry and shit, which, you know, I've definitely taken steps in that direction, but for right now I'm just really trying to be, like, the best DJ of all time. So,
and
you know, I'm pretty busy.
Clark is an amazing role model.
Exactly.
But talk about when you mentioned DJ Drama being one of your heroes on Twitter.
Yeah.
And he responded.
Yeah. I mean, especially being in Houston, like, Lil Wayne was like the god of rap and shit. And Dedication 2 is, like, that's, like, my Wi-Fi password and all that shit. Like, I listen to Dedication 2. To this day, I probably listen to it at least once a week. Just because it's so seamless, and, like, Drama really added, like, so much to all of those mixtapes. Like, when, you know, from, you know, like, all the Jeezy shit and all the T.I. shit, like, he really added, like, very pivotal parts in these mixtapes, which I thought was so dope. And just his relationships with everybody. And he's a very important figure in rap in general. You know, like, he's definitely one of the most important DJs ever of all time and shit. So it just meant a lot to, and I used to email him and Cannon, like, every day, which is hilarious. When I was in East Orange, I used to email them, like, yo, bro, like, you know, I'm just trying to learn from you, whatever, like, I think I'm dope, and, you know, like, it would be cool if I could, like, hang with y'all or some shit like that, you know.
Do they hit you back?
Never.
Just hold it over their heads.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah,
they probably, like, didn't even see the shit. I don't know.
Like, Odd Future and Two Dope Boys be like, fuck you for not putting me on.
Right. Word, but no, yeah. Shout out to Drama, man. He's definitely a great example too. Being a leader, and, you know, as a DJ, and being a tour DJ that also has a brand of his own, you know, which is very inspirational. So,
can you talk about your relationship with Sycamore?
Oh man, that's the big bro, man. Mm-hmm. And we're really just friends on a whole other level, man. Like, we're just going to the club and shit. Like, he loves to go out. Like, he's always about the culture and the streets and just seeing, like, what's moving. And I feel like that's why he's so good as an A&R, because he's really out here.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, me, Trav, everybody, that's what we believe in, is, like, being actually out here. Because I feel like a lot of people, like, when they're successful, they just disappear, which is, like, not tight to me. Like, you know, like, I fuck with how Trav was going to, like, all his pop-ups and, you know, like, shutting down Soho and shit. Like, that's important for people to see you and to touch you. And I feel like that's why you do it, is to have that effect on people's lives and shit. So.
And speaking of which, we just had Yes Jules on the podcast. Uh-huh. And she was talking about how involved she was in bringing you guys down to Miami.
Jules,
and
man. Jules fucking... Yeah, because Jules had the bitches on deck. So, like, we would go to Miami, and Jules would just be like, yo, this is my friend so-and-so. And we was just like, yo, we fuck with Jules. Like, you know what I'm saying? And she works mad hard. And she, you know, she...
Never not working, right?
Yeah, for real. Yeah, a lot of respect for Jules, man. That's definitely a good friend of mine. So.
And she was talking about all the pop-ups that she was helping organize and that.
Yeah, she was definitely a big part
of that. And that became an amazing idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's dope that we still work together.
Do you miss any venues, like, around the country?
What do you mean, like?
Like, you know, like, Santos isn't around anymore. Westway isn't around anymore. Like, all these places in New York. Southpaw are gone. Are there any places that you're just like, oh, shit, like, that was a really good time?
Damn. Yo, there's so many. I feel like I talk about this all the time, too. I even missed the downstairs shit at Up and Down. I feel like that was, like, a cool thing.
The Down.
The Down, yeah.
fuck, I'm trying to think of what else. Shit, there's definitely some shit around here that I definitely miss doing. Like, even the party at at House of Yes, the Electric Circus shit. It was like, yo, this is like people are really in here dancing and shit. Like, it was really like a good time. Cause you know, at the Top 40 shit, everybody's like, they feel like they're on like reality TV or some shit. And they're sitting upstairs and they're just like, you know, just like
waiting for cameras.
Cigarettes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
Like that was like an actual party, that shit.
Well, how do you feel, by the way, about when. So that's a night when you have. Four or five DJs that are going to play throughout the night.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel when you go in there and you have your go-to records and someone's already played Bad and Bougie like twice already? Like, you're like, well,
which happens very often.
Sure, because everyone wants to play the most popping shit. Mm-hmm. Like, does anyone dare like play, you know, a whole Travis set before you get on?
It's happened before.
Really?
Yeah, it's happened, yeah. I was just like, bro. The real stupid shit is like, which is why we don't have opener DJs at our shows anymore, is like, they'll play like a song from the set list. He's like, bro, like cut this shit off. Like, I remember this once we had a show in Atlanta and he was like, he put on Migos Pandora. I was like, bro, you don't think that Trav and Migos have anything in common where one of his songs might come on this playlist. So, but yeah, it's happened before. There's a lot of burnout DJs out there and shit. But me, it kind of like, I'm like, I'll be sitting there like, yeah, do it. Like, I dare you to do it. You know, like, and I'm still going to like fucking burn this shit down after you're done, you know? So, it's kind of like a challenge to me.
Yeah.
And you DJ so often, it's not like a fucking Super Bowl every time, you know? So
right.
You want to like be able to play some different shit and, you know, try to see like what works and what doesn't.
Actually, it is like a Super Bowl for you because you kick out the power.
Oh, yeah. It's the Beyonce Super Bowl.
Exactly. Now that you've become, you know, a certain level where your name's on flyers, you're known, you play around the country, you get flown out for things.
Mm-hmm.
What's going home and playing a gig in Houston like?
Oh, that's just fun, man, because Houston's so fucking ratchet. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always want to go home and just play, like, nothing but Jeezy and Boosie.
Yeah.
And, you know what I'm saying? Like, Big Mo and shit, and have them really respond to it. You know, you can't, you shouldn't do that here.
What's
the
hottest party down there?
The hottest party down there, Social Junkies Sundays is pretty, it's like a day party that just, like, you know, fucking, yeah, all the homies like Mr. Rogers and all them in there. B-Star. I'm sure you love this plug, B-Star. But, nah, everybody goes to Social Junkie on Sundays, man. That shit's just fun. It's a really good venue. It's like a sports bar with, like, this whole DJ booth in there and shit. And the music's always good. Food's good. So that's like, my favorite, one of my favorite places.
Too. What's the best Big Mo song?
I think Purple Stuff, I think, is the best one.
I like Just a Dog.
Just a Dog. Yeah. Oh shit, man! Like, there's a lot. There's a lot. Big Mo is like, he really liked the sound of that era. Like, he like, I feel like when people think of Houston, they should think of Big Mo. Like,
right?
Because it's soulful, you know. Like, it's really. But he was singing about like drugs, which is, we always talk about that. Like, it's so funny. Like, he was really that much in love.
Yeah,
with Lean, that he was like crooning about this shit.
I mean, but that's basically everybody. Like, you know, from, like 3 years ago. But is it like, okay? So Houston has like this crazy, you know, rich. Hip hop history, but the problem is that everybody, it seems, dies so young. How is it, man, to like, you know,
not die?
How is it one to not die, but also to watch, you know, people that you've really like, you know, grown up on and loved. To how is that as a fan?
It's tough, man. Like, I remember like the Pimp C shit was just like, wait, what, bro? Like, are you serious, man? Like, and it was such a bad time for it to happen. Just learning more about like the scene in general, just like, we needed that guy. Everybody still needs Pimp C, you know? And I'm seeing how it affected Bun. I don't even really know Bun directly like that, but just seeing how it affected him, and, you know, UGK for life, man. So it's tough, like, to have that kind of connotation with Houston artists, is that they, you know, pass away.
Yeah.
But you know, we're good now and shit.
Like, yeah.
You know.
Does it mean something to you that you and Travis really do represent Houston and bring that culture to a whole bigger level?
Yeah, it's it means a lot to like be an inspiration to kids, especially like from where from and shit.
Also, is there a connection for you guys with Mike Dean because you're all from there?
Hell yeah. No, all we do when we link up, all we do is talk about country shit. Like, it's all we're talking about is like, yeah, back in Houston, you know, Mike Dean, like, Burger Houston, all right, I just smoking weed.
That's a really good mic. That's really good.
It's dope to like really be like in fucking like Paris or some shit, and we're all from Houston. You know? Like, we're not supposed to be here, type of shit.
It's wild.
And how, really having like an impact on shit.
How quickly did you adapt to riding subways?
Not quickly at all. Cause you have to know, like, I guess the last stop on the train to know which direction you're going. And I just would always forget. So I'd be going like south as fuck when I was supposed to be going north as fuck and shit. And then there was like the whole PATH train situation, getting back to Jersey. And yeah, it was a difficult little.
When transition. You were living in Jersey, did you ever get stuck in New York without like a train or, oh,
nah,
or a bus?
I used to
back?
Sleep in I used to sleep in Penn Station very often.
Whoa,
yeah, like
what is very often?
No, like whenever I had a gig, so like I guess probably like.
What do you do? Find a bench and
two or three times a week. I used to
hope
just go
you don't get
there.
Robbed.
Yeah,
yeah, no, for real. So I used to go in there like after, say I had like a party or something, and the last train back to Jersey would be at like 3,
right?
I think. And then it would start at like 6:30 or 7.
Right.
So there's like a window where I would just be like kind of just in the streets. I used to like walk to Times Square just for fun and shit. Just be like just to kill time.
Kill time, yeah.
And then because they used to kick me out of Penn Station, they were like, "No, you can't sleep here or whatever." So I'd be in there like with the homeless dudes, and I just like find a little chair and I just like get as comfortable as I could until they kick me out or whatever.
But, man,
yeah, no, it was a struggle for.
Wait, and by the way, it's the high of having that like gig that you just killed.
Yeah, yeah.
To
and
the
then
low
then
of like
sitting in Penn Station
I'm
for an extended period
out.
Of time.
Or,
yeah, yeah. And I'd have like a lot of times I wouldn't even have enough money to get back because living in East Orange, I think the New Jersey Transit to get to the city was like $6, I think,
mm-hmm.
one way. So like it'd be $12 to whatever, and I probably had like $30 in my shit. So man. By the time you know, I sometimes wouldn't even have enough money to get back. So I would just like move from car to car. So like the dude would never find me to like check my ticket and shit.
Yeah, do you used to like hide in the bathroom or what?
All that shit. No, yeah. Wherever. I'd just be like, yo, the dude's coming.
You just
like,
hear the click click. Like,
yeah, you know. Yeah. I'm just like, oh shit, like bust a move right now. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's gotta make this like where you are today feel even
exactly,
better.
Exactly. That's why I can never leave this place. Like it's all this
because you don't have money to go home.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll probably just go to Penn Station right now and just post up after this interview.
What is the New York vibe like for you? Like you hang out with like Justine and Rennell and like all these
yeah.
New Yorkers. Mm-hmm. What does New York bring to your life?
Just life, man.
I mean, it's 24 hours here.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, for real. I think it's just dope, man, to like really, now that I live in the city too, I live on like 30th Street. So it's like
30th Street,
yeah,
right what? By Penn Station.
Right by Penn Station. No, that's why. That's really like why I wanted to move there.
Really,
it kind of was like a milestone for me to be like, I used to sleep like all on these streets, and now I'm like, you know, a little more comfortable.
Holy
yeah.
cow!
That's yeah. like that's a very good reason to live there because I was like, I cannot find one reason.
Yeah, like, please have a legitimate excuse for why.
Like there's just nothing around there, right?
Yeah, it's not, but it's kind of cool to be like a little bit out of the way. Sure.
I mean, you're talking to
look at us,
South
yeah.
Harlem,
yeah.
And like Ubers are super convenient because they just like kind of pull up with like no, you know. Nothing in their way.
It's just like we've contacted like 18 cars.
Well, exactly. Yeah, 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 for real. So yeah, that's dope. But no, I just love living in New York. I think.
And there's a gig every night for you if you want
yeah,
it,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Now I turn down more shit than I probably accept. Hmm. You know.
Just, what's the best thing you've turned down? Like not like specifically, but just like.
Something not turned down.
Or best thing you turned up.
Hey,
am I right?
Am I right? I don't know what the best thing I turned down. There's a lot of shit. I don't know. I just feel like there still needs to be some type of there's like a special feeling with the exclusivity. You know, like mm-hmm. if you DJ every night, people can be like, bro, you DJ every night.
Right. No,
yeah. I'm not coming this time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's, I try to just make it a little special.
There is something to saying no.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It really, you can't just say yes to everything because
right.
you don't want to spread yourself so thin.
Exactly.
And
yeah. Like, I only DJ at Up and Down on One Oak. That's the only, like, top 40 like bottle service clubs.
Right, right.
At. I just you know that stuff. Those guys really like go at it. Like you know what I'm saying. Like the whole like Tower Group versus what,
yeah.
versus whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just like you know this is what I know, man. These guys put me on as far as this whole scene. And
have you been asked
shout out to Richie, man? I feel like Richie used to hate me, and now we're like really good friends. Yeah.
Have you been asked to do Vegas?
Yeah, I'm actually starting a residency.
Where at?
In January at Hakkasan.
Whoa.
Yeah, Hakkasan, Jewel, and I mean they're all owned by the same shit. So,
right, right, yeah. But that's still dope.
Yeah, no,
they're
going to
put your
excited.
Name on the flyer.
Yo, hopefully they'll put my fucking name on the hotel.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah. By the way, don't, like, I know you know this, but, like, don't go and, like, totally change, you know, your set just to accommodate, because obviously they're bringing you down for a reason.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
You should start wearing, like, pitbull suits.
It was like, yeah, what are you going to do? Like, what's your thing? Like,
yeah,
I'm going to fucking, like, throw pizzas at people. And yeah. It's a Steve Aoki shit.
Yo, if you throw some pizzas, I will definitely come. Like, I hate Vegas, so, but I will
yeah,
definitely
yeah.
come for
no,
that.
I definitely want to do something special, just like, you know, because it is like, it's a Vegas residency. Like,
yeah.
That's why I work so hard for whatever.
Totally.
And
just have meaningful conversations with everybody who comes through.
Well, but they're shaking hands with everybody.
But you know what, though? Like, so here's who I am.
That'd be so funny.
Here's who I am in a club,
how
right?
Things? Like, what?
Like we go out enough that, like, you know, we're having conversations all the time.
Yeah.
People are saying what's up or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And here's a little thing. I can barely hear people when we're in the club, right?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
right.
For me, I don't have great hearing to begin with, but then I really do like open my notes and I'm just like, I don't know.
Yeah, for real, especially.
And
yeah.
someone will type that in. How good are you? Like, what happens if like, I don't know, like 50 comes in, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he like goes up to you and he whispers in your ear and he's like, play this or cut it off here or there or whatever. Yeah, yeah. And what if you don't hear him? You're just like,
Yeah, right. Yeah, nah.
What if the Yin Yang Twins whisper in your ear?
That plot twist is great.
No, but back
I feel like they whispered in everyone in the ears of many
right.
back in their
but
day.
But like, do people say things and like? Because I would be like, huh? Like,
yeah,
like the Yin Yang Twins.
They're so relevant in this movie. Well, you know, it's happened before and shit. I just try to really just do my best. With like, yo, can you please? Like, nah, I really didn't hear him. Like, I'll just do it. Be like, yo, I didn't hear you, bro.
Oh.
Like, let's get on the
or
same page.
Or do you just, like, hit the fader to off and, like, you just, yeah, like sorry, what? Yeah, now that yeah, the music's yeah. off, say yeah.
You can, like, turn the booth down and
right,
shit, which I try not to do because it does affect the club. Like, a lot of DJs think that they're, like, the only people that can hear those booth speakers for some reason. But it's like, bro, like, you just emptied out, like, a fourth of the club. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, a lot of this shit goes on the fly. Like, 50 actually came to One Oak, like, a couple, like, a month ago.
How'd that go?
It was dope as hell.
And yeah, he performed?
Like, he performed probably the whole Get Rich or Die Trying. Because, like, me...
The skits too? No, no.
For me, like, I'm gonna like do my best to like really be like, nah, like, you know, just keep throwing records. You know what
yeah.
I'm
yeah.
So I just yeah, just whatever blended, I just threw it in there and
that's
just,
awesome.
He just went with it, yeah. So
did you play any random 50 records?
Not really random. I just really like the Get Rich or Die Trying soundtrack. Like not the
oh,
the album.
Oh. Dude, yeah. Hustler's Ambition.
Hustler's and fucking Bition.
One of the best instrumentals
I
ever.
I love that fucking song.
I'm glad that we
so
found
much.
That so quickly.
I know.
That was lightning speed.
Hustler's yeah. Ambition is a
that
fucking,
song is fucking
fantastic
song. That beat
song.
Is so good, man. That beat, who made that beat?
I don't know.
That shit
is
fire.
Let's
man.
Think about it for 1 second.
Right? Yeah. Let's put our minds together.
We hosted DJ Drama's listening party here in New York for his latest album, which was Quality Street Music 2,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the label brings us in, they give us a microphone, they tell us like what to do, and we're gonna have this conversation with Drama.
Yeah.
So we're all standing on this like couch against yeah. the wall, and the three of us, and all these cameras are, you know, on us and everything.
And we get as far as going, hey, it's The Real, and we're here with DJ Drama. We're about to get into this album, but yeah. and then 50 Cent walks in and steals the microphones.
Oh, yeah.
Took the microphone, and we were like, but this is awesome. Like, we have no problem
exactly,
with this.
Exactly, yeah.
And he stood there for the whole time and rapped and sang and was, like, vibed to it. Nah, and we were stuck there behind him because he's, you know, a refrigerator with a head. Like,
yeah, it was the easiest hosting gig we ever had to do.
But there were great pictures where it's just like, oh, the four of us laughing. It's like we had no conversation.
Yeah,
just like, give me the microphone. No problem. Yeah.
Hanging out.
Like we do every day.
That's right. Yeah. Are you in any pictures with people that that you would find unexpected?
Unexpected? I'm not sure. I don't know about unexpected.
No one like at you and is just like, oh, you're in the back of this picture. Like,
oh yeah.
Like,
oh yeah, that happens. Like, I mean, just being in the DJ booth, you know, it happens a lot more often. Like before, like when I was, you know, like whatever, just like the, you know, the black guy, the only black guy in fucking One Oak or whatever. Like, you'd be like, who was this black person right there? Like in the DJ booth, like
Chase
with no headphones.
Chase B hosts JoJo's listening
party.
Yeah,
like shit like that.
Down, yeah.
It definitely happened a lot before. But now it's, you know, now I'm cool enough to pose and shit.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
I mean, you said it.
I'm cool enough to actually be in the pictures now.
What's the difference between rocking a crowd in the United States and a crowd in Europe?
Europe is... They love like the
cigarettes.
No, fuck, yeah, they, precisely, actually, precisely. But Europe, they're like really big on like instrumental more than lyrics. So like they like whatever sounds good musically.
Mm-hmm.
Like I went to this party in Paris and like Lip Gloss by Lil Mama was like
right.
just ringing off like in the club. Like you would have thought
in 2000 what.
14?
Oh, listen, like who played it the other night? Vashti might have played Chicken Noodle Soup.
Yeah.
And that rang off, and there was like a whole like crowd right in front, like getting to it. So
Europe, they really like whatever sounds like good music. Like it, you know, they're just about beats and like whatever you can dance to. And here, I feel like it's more about what's like culturally relevant, kind of. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like people want to hear like certain words in the club, and like they want to hear like. You know, like a diss song will sound differently in America, obviously, than it would.
Sure.
You know, so yeah, shit like that.
Yeah, I like listening to, like, you know, real, like, lyrical stuff in the club.
Right, yeah. You know, like, I just put on Common, like, 2 o'clock in the morning when it's, like, prime time.
I listen to Cannabis, and I'm just like, I'm like, yo, DJ, wind it back. I didn't catch that.
Wait, what, that bar? That was sick, yeah, yeah, bro.
And then we just, like, talk about it.
Are you
listening
to these cadences right now?
And you know what that means, because it's a double entendre. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you been asked to tour DJ for any other artists besides Travis? Like, when he's recording or something?
Yeah. I'm not gonna do it though.
Okay.
Yeah, just nah.
But
I don't even particularly even like touring, to be honest with you. To mm-hmm. be completely honest, like I'm very.
Well, you finally got a place here, like,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so I'm very much a homebody. Like, you know, I like to be at the crib. I like to kick it, and I can do, like, I always say, like, if touring was like 2 weeks spurts. Yeah, yeah. If I could just tour New York City for the rest. No, but if it was in like 2 week spurts, and like you go out for like 2 weeks and then you go home for 2 weeks, I could do that like all year.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't have a problem with that. But
instead it's so much
going
longer.
Going on, yeah, being on a bus for 3 months, bro, is that shit is crazy.
You wanna know what? Like, it's really Travis's fault for being like successful.
I know, yeah, man. Yeah. Fuck you, bro. I know. Always on the fucking road and arenas and shit and playing at Madison Square Garden, bro. That shit's for the birds, literally.
Hello.
Like, I did that.
Yeah. Okay, now that you've achieved a certain level of success, now that you can go to Thanksgiving and your family not give you a hard time about like the degree and all that, and you have your place up here, does your family come to gigs? Like, have they seen you rock?
They come to everything. They come. My mom is, she knows shit before I know it. Honestly, what? she called me in like October, like, yo, you're going to Australia? I was like, what? So I called David, like, yo, are we going to Australia in a couple weeks? He's like, yeah, like, I forgot to tell you. I'm like, how does my mom know this?
Yo, she got the heads up.
Yeah, yeah. No, and my dad's super on it. Like, my dad, like, sends me, like, blog links and shit.
Oh,
like,
they got Google alerts on you?
Yeah,
guys?
Like, no, they probably are listening to this podcast right now.
Shouts to them. Yo, shouts to them, yeah.
No, I'm talking about, like, right now, like, when it comes out. I'm talking about, like, they probably are.
They're
like,
outside right now.
Right there, yeah, exactly. So, but no, they're super supportive of
it. And they've seen you, awesome. They've seen you rock and everything?
They've seen.
Do you bring them up to the DJ booth?
Have they been? No.
Oh, okay.
No,
all
I haven't been. I think that's for their ears, man. I don't want to, you know, they're old people. I don't want to, like,
you got to turn the volume down. Yeah.
But no, they come there, like, especially in Houston, like, they're always right there. My mom came to the Garden show with The Weeknd.
Nice.
She came to one of
she
those.
Came with The Weeknd?
Yeah, she was, I was like, yo, how are you and Abel's? Just, I know, yeah. Such good friends and shit. Yeah, she.
Your mom is Bella Hadid.
What would happen if, like, say that you have this tour going on, right?
Yeah.
A tour, hypothetically, a tour. But you also have, like, a wedding to go to, some, like, big event.
Yeah, no, it gets crazy, man. Literally every week. And this is why, this is another reason why I say no to so much shit.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, I don't want to be that inconsistent and be, like, booking all this shit and then.
No, I mean, like, to attend a wedding, like, someone in your family or something.
Yeah, yeah, no. And then that's something, like, even shit like that, it's like, it's very, very hard to be consistent with any aspect of life. You know, like, it like, happens pretty much every week. Where
you
like,
make
bro,
sure your cousin sends to save the date, like, a year in advance.
Like, I'm supposed to be here. Like, I missed, count, like, I flew out on Thanksgiving. Like, my mom was like, oh, like, whatever. Not this year. I think, like, 2 years ago. Uh-huh. My mom was all excited, and she's cooking. And it was like, yeah, I got to bounce to wherever because we had a show. You know, so, like, shit
damn,
happens,
yeah,
man, like, for real. So.
Well, it's also, who is faster, you or your brother?
My brother.
I hope he's listening to hear that. Right,
yeah,
there.
No, he was he was like the fastest kid in the state of Texas at one point.
Whoa,
in the 100. Yeah, he's like a real deal.
Penn real is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, no, he definitely was better than me. I was dope, but he was.
Did you ever do hurdles?
Never. Nah.
Why not?
Pussy. Yo. Yeah, I can't. No, for real, hurdles are like, I used to look at this shit like, how do you, like, what's the logic behind this? Like, why just put this thing in my way to, like, have to jump over? Like, running is already hard enough. And now you're going to make me jump over this, like, obstacle. Like, fuck you. You know
it's a game for horses.
Right, yeah. No, I just stick to the track, man. 400 meters. Yeah, I just stick to that.
What
hurdles
are
not my thing.
What are the other really, really, really Texas things that you would do growing up? Texas, like the rodeo? The
rodeo, like bonfires and shit. That shit was super country. what else?
Would you go to football games on Friday nights?
Oh, yo, Friday Night Lights is very real. Yeah. Very, very real. Like, my high school, like, the stadium next to my high school is definitely could, like, host, like, a fucking Cowboys game or some shit. Like, it's, like, a really big stadium.
And it's for high school.
it's only for high school. Like, that's it. It's only for high school. But, and then I had, like, a whole bunch of, like, country-ass friends, like, from, so Sugar Land's a little more, like, I guess, white.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. How, you how do you say?
It's more a little more white. And so like I had friends that would go like mudding and shit. You know what mudding is?
No.
Mudding. So they take their dad's like Jeeps, and then after it rains, they'll go like this big ass field, and they'll just like flip turns and shit, and like these big ass
fuck up the field.
Just, yeah, just no, for real. And it's called mudding, and like just slinging mud all over the park and shit. It's crazy. Yeah, it's very and very country.
Where shit. Would you sit in the passenger seat or in the bed, or
in the mud?
I would sit like in the fucking like some bleachers or some shit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I never.
Wait, you would just watch and clap?
Yeah, you know, like ten. Yeah.
But, right, you're Dominique.
Yeah, did you go to monster truck rallies?
I didn't do all that time. Okay. I'm not that country. I still got like a lot of East Coast in my blood and shit. That's another. I don't even have any like other family really in Texas. It's just my parents. My brother lives here. He lives in New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And, on 30th Street?
No, he doesn't live on 30th Street. He lives closer to here, I think. He actually just moved. So,
would your parents come up here to have Thanksgiving or Christmas or anything?
We did a couple years ago. I have an aunt that still lives in Jersey too.
Nice.
So, yeah, they come up for holidays a couple times.
Has Travis been over for dinner or a holiday lately at your parents' place?
He comes over every time we all come. Yeah, he comes over every time.
Oh, really?
No, our moms are, like, just as cool as me.
Oh,
and him
awesome.
Are. Yeah, yeah, so we're always just, you know, fucking around each other's cribs and shit.
Has he been mudding?
Probably, shit. Probably.
How's Apple going?
Dot Wave Radio.
Yeah,
Dot Wave is the shit, man. It's so much fun to just record it. We're going to try to be a lot more consistent next year. With it, just because, like, you know, Trav living in L.A. and I live here, and so it's hard to, like, for us to be in the same place every 2 weeks.
Right, right.
And to sit down and record the show. Like, there's two episodes I'm not even on there talking just because, like, he was in it. And
who'd they replace you with?
Nobody. Just Trav, you know. Just
that
Trav
shows you your value.
Trav was the radio host of the year with that one. And so what happened, we'll, like... Whoever is just down to talk some shit for like a couple minutes, well, we'll just FaceTime them and then we'll record it right into the shit.
Unbelievable.
And yeah, is there like any like formatting like in terms of like playlists or like how does that work?
So what I kind of like musically, I kind of just like designed the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
So I just was like, I wanted the first 30 minutes to just be like one of my SoundCloud mixes or something, just like an update of like what is kind of being played right now. Like I wanted to be sound like a party. Like if you put this show on right now and you were at a club or something, it would make sense.
Right.
So that's like the first half an hour, and then we usually start like the talking, like the second half hour, like whatever interview we do, we'll start then, and that's when I'll put in like some more like eclectic shit, like that's when like the Samphas come out and fucking whatever, like maybe some abstract shit like we found on SoundCloud or something, and then
as long as it's like not explicit, right?
No, you put whatever the fuck, and then
oh, really?
Yeah, they'll clean it up.
Oh, like, cool.
They clean it up. You know, I was playing.
Had them do the hard work.
I was playing some ridiculous. I really like that dude. What's his name? His name is T Grizzly. He's from Detroit.
Okay.
He has this song called First Day Out. And it's like, he literally says the N-word every like couple seconds.
That song is crazy, by the way.
That song is crazy. Like when it's like
video.
The dreams and nightmares type of feel. Like it starts out with these little keys and these chords and shit.
Right.
And he's like, wait, hold the fuck up. Like, it's about to go down in Detroit type of shit. And then it just gets crazy. And I love that song. But
and the video is great, too.
The video is really good.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet.
You know, he's dope, man. He's dope. I think it's like a thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, so I played that on it. You know, I just if you find some shit, because it's hard for like, because I do all 2 hours of the music,
right?
So like, I'm like, yo, what? I'm just looking for shit to play at this point. And then I haven't played a song twice on the air yet.
That's really pretty, that's pretty incredible.
Episodes, yeah, I haven't played any song twice. So
who reached? You know, wait, is that like a thing that only like you know?
I probably some DJ nerd shit. I'm just sitting there like,
I think it's the same thing.
I'm
with
so
like,
dope. Like I haven't played the song twice yet. You bastards didn't even catch that. That's like being in the club, like listening to Cannabis. Like you didn't even catch that. I haven't even played the song twice.
But those are like, you know, Eric and I come up with these AKAs every week, and it's just
for real.
Does like, anyone notice that they're never? Yeah,
yeah, that's dope. Never the same. I was struggling to get my little two.
But you
out.
Also don't come up with it like a week beforehand or whatever. Or, I mean, like, 10 minutes. Beforehand.
10 minutes before. Right, yeah. So did Larry Jackson reach out to you guys?
Yeah, Larry Jackson reached out to Trav, and he was just like, "Yo, I think it'd be tight for you to have a show." And the Trav was just like, "I mean, I'm not about to like really just like do this by myself." He's like, "Yo, Chase has to be involved." So you know, shout out to him for that. And
how many different names did you guys go through?
It's a billion.
Yeah.
A billion.
What were some bad ones?
I'm bad at these questions. Like I want to answer them, but I don't know. We just like brainstorming this bullshit, and then he was like, "Yo," like he called me just like, "Yo, Dot Wave Radio." It's like, "Oh, that sounds perfect," you know, because it kind of just represents like millennial
yeah.
shit, you know? And that's what
I wouldn't understand about. That as a non-millennial. As a 45-year-old.
Right. You look great for 45, Jeff. Really, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I really...
Yeah. Fruits and berries, man. They word up.
And when you do terrestrial radio, are there restrictions in that
yeah,
regard,
man.
Too?
Yeah, man. That shit. But at the end of the day, there's nothing like local radio. I mm-hmm. feel like I just, like... Being on Hot 97 for the first time, I was just like, man, like, that was another milestone. I was like, yo, I'm really in New York now.
That's amazing. You
know? That shit, it felt really good to play. I think the first song I ever played on there was, what's the actual name of the Belly intro song? However do you...
Oh,
what's the actual name of the song? I can't even think of this shit. However do you name it?
Yeah.
So with the whole intro, like the, like, steady, oh, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, so it was like a moment. It was another one of those things.
New
York, like,
yeah.
No one else gives a fuck what's going on right now. But right. for me, it was like, I'm playing this shit on Hot 97 right now, you know?
By the way, I guess my hearing is just bad, like, in or out of the club. Because I thought you said, what's the intro for Belly, like, the singer Belly?
Oh, yeah,
and I'm
yeah,
just,
yeah.
like, trying to think. I'm like,
Yeah, the movie.
Yeah. It's like Consuela.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Shout out to Lola. Right.
Yeah.
Have you DJed local radio down in Houston? Have
I,
they asked you?
I did
you?
Once. Shout out to Mr. Rogers, man. He's another one that I really looked up to just because he's had Texas on smash for, like, a good, like, 10 years or something like that. Like, he went to Prairie View out there. And he was doing the whole mixtape circuits, and he was producing all the songs. Like, I don't know if you know, like, Flex and, like, Daddy Stroke and all that type of shit.
Yo, Flex
Party
is
Boys,
like,
yeah. So that was all
Party
Mr. Rogers.
Boy.
Yeah.
The T-Pain remix, though?
Yep, exactly. Yo. So that was all Mr. Rogers doing that
crazy.
Shit. And then he just started, like, just smashing the clubs. And then 93.7 The Beat was mm-hmm. the new station, and then they gave him. He does, like, 3 mix shows a day, I think, on that shit.
Crazy.
Yeah, he's really just in charge.
Does he repeat songs?
Yeah, never played
the same
song twice. Yeah.
I think he has once or twice. But he put me on for the first time in Houston to play on 93.7. That was a moment, too.
Shouts to him.
Shouts.
On a totally different note.
Yeah.
Isn't there a country group called Sugarland?
Is there?
I believe so, yeah.
Word?
So. Yeah.
That'd be tight. Shit,
they're repping Sugarland better than you guys.
Yeah, they're repping it hard, bro. They're repping it hard. You know who has family in Sugarland? Dom Kennedy.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
So you would see him around?
Nah. Oh. But he would always talk about Sugarland, like, any song. I'd be like, yo, what does he know about Sugarland? Like, what do you want with this little place?
Right.
Like, fucking southwestern Houston, Texas. But he has, like, a cousin. I forgot his name. Carter.
Carter. Shout out to Carter.
You know Carter? No, he used to rap on some of his songs. Like, what's the song, like, Ice Cream Sundae or something like that? Song, like,
from Dom Kennedy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to understand, like, I everything I've heard from Dom Kennedy I enjoy. But the thing is that Dom Kennedy only exists in California, as I understand it. Like, he's our, like, French Montana.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right, exactly.
Very, very regional.
Did you grow up a UT fan or an A&M fan?
UT.
Oh,
UT.
Oh.
He's wearing a UT hat.
Basically.
Well, it's like a Travis hat.
Yeah, but it's definitely Longhorns all day. Longhorns all day. Hook 'em
horns.
No gig 'em. I don't even know what the fuck that means.
I really don't know what the fuck that means.
No. I'm going to look
it up. I honestly don't. What does gig 'em mean? No, hook 'em.
It's been awesome having you here.
Oh, man. Thanks.
It's been nice actually interviewing you and having you talk.
Yeah, right?
Instead of just laughing in the back.
Yeah, that's not my laughing in the background.
And want to do it again?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. No, everything's coming full circle, man. Right. This is dope, man. I appreciate y'all having me. Yeah, hopefully I don't sound like an idiot when I listen to this. You know?
Ask your parents if you're listening
right
now.
Yeah, for real.
Thanks, Chase. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this new episode of A Waste of Time With It's the Real, part of the 12 days of podcast stunt that we've been doing this winter. That's 12 new episodes in 12 days leading up to Christmas. Shout out to everyone who's listened. Shout out to Loudspeakers Network for obliging our request. Shout out to Combat Jack and Chris Morrow and Maddie Raz for putting it up online. Jeff, can you believe that there's still some people out there who listen to this podcast and may not even know about us? Well, here's the thing. There's more about us online, and Jeff, can you please direct people to where to go?
Yes, you can always go to find new episodes at soundcloud.com/awasteoftime. We are also on iTunes. Search for A Waste of Time with It's The Real. If you want to find us on Twitter, it's at It's The Real. If you want to find us on Instagram, at It's The Real. If you want to find us on Facebook, it's at It's The Real. But if you want to find us on Snapchat, it is It's The Real Eric and It's The Real. Do not follow It's The Real on Snapchat.
Fuck whoever that is.
Fuck whoever that is.
Listen, the goal here is to grow this podcast and get it in as many people's ears as possible, and that starts with us. So we like to shout out people who can then shout out their people who can then shout out their people. Jeff, do you have people to shout?
Yes, I have one person to shout out, and that is Freshalina.
Shout out to Fresh.
Fresh, who is one of the best writers on the internet today and forever.
Fantastical.
Yes, she is the best. And she doesn't get enough credit, and we would like to give her credit, and we would also like to have her on the podcast when she is up in New York.
Yeah, shout out to Fresh. She really left a mark. Double XL days, her own website, her own podcast. She's still moving out here. She gives amazing advice. She's a great role model for anybody who's looking to be consistent online. Shout out to Fresh.
Shout out to Fresh.
I would like to shout out, Jeff, a bunch of people who have left comments on iTunes, because those are good people. Jeff Verhee, that's J-E-H-F-U-H-H-R-E-E. That's the first time that I have seen a spelling like that. It's not like Jeffrey the Giraffe. It's not like Jeffrey the rapper formerly known as Young Thug, currently known as Young Thug, and it's not how you spell your name. So I'm going to assume that wasn't you.
It is how I'm going to spell my name from now on.
Jeffery.
Yeah, I'm going to do it by phonetics.
It's like Safari, but Jeffery. Shout out to J Omega. Shout out to Emily O. Estevez. Shout out to Chin Diancarlo, who we had on the podcast. Shout out to Boggy33. These are all good people. I like seeing all the jokes that we have, the inside jokes that people have on here. Nah, for real, for real. Come to Brazil. There's a lot of those. Yo, we just got this one right now. Nah, for real by Faya. I enjoy this podcast, the interviews, questions, jokes, even the difference in people who were interviewed. I've also spoken to Eric via Snapchat, and he was super cool. How about that? Back tomorrow. See you then.